You're listening to Around Comics, episode 260, brought to you by InStockTrades.com and Evangelion from Funimation. Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week a revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comic books and comics culture. And normally Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. We've been saying that for 6 weeks, so I guess we've officially moved for the time being. No, we will be back at Dark Tower, I
Rolling
promise.
The cots.
But yes, we're
sleeping here tonight.
We've taken over, Patrick. We're
it
here.
It depends. Can Patrick cook?
I can, and I have plenty of room for all of you.
You're doomed.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Challengers Comics and Conversation, it is located at 1845 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you are in the area, you should certainly drop by. And like I said, we'll be back at our other home of Dark Tower, which is at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago, two of the best comic shops in the area. So check those out. Hey there, folks. I'm Christopher Niesman. We'll get you introduced to this week's new panel. As always, Mr. Tom Caters.
Hi. How Hello. Are you?
Good, Tom.
Yeah,
happy day after Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Black Friday.
Again, it's the blackest Friday.
Well, he's really happy to be alive this week.
Yeah.
Hi, how are
Hi,
you?
Hi, how are you?
What are you thankful for, Tom?
I'm going to go shoot myself
after
this show.
Thankful for assisted suicide. No, I'm thankful for me being me.
You should tell people what your dad told you on Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. I walked in and my dad, the first thing he says to me is, you know, I'm not always going to be here. And I was like, that is one of the most morbid things I've ever heard anyone say.
I thought that's what you were thankful for.
And he was like, no, I mean, literally here. I'm going to be in Florida one of these years for Thanksgiving.
It is Thanksgiving. You know, I won't always be here for Thanksgiving, Tom. Because next year I'm going to be in Boca.
And you're not invited. That was sort of the
in
subtext.
Boca Vista, yeah, you're not invited. You're going to stay up there, buddy.
Our next guest, Mr. Christian Alame.
Hello, Mr. Niesman.
Well, hello there. How are you?
Very well, thank you very much.
We our next guest, Patrick Brower, had suggested that we all talk in French accents for this episode.
And they would have to guess who the real Christian Alame was.
Oh, that's going to be tough.
Oh, that's going to be tough.
Oh, very nice.
Whoa.
Well done, my friend.
Well done.
Patrick, thank you for hosting us here. Happy holidays to you.
My pleasure. Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's good. I always enjoy spending the holidays with family and friends and you guys.
And you.
And you guys, are in the third category of all of that. So no, it's great to
like friends and
you
be here on the busiest shopping day of the year. And Patrick was able to take a little bit of time out of his busy shopping.
Thank you very much to Ashley Challenger for actually coming in today and working when she was not scheduled to, so we could do this.
That's awesome. And now for comic shops, busy shopping day.
You know. It's not so much because every other store in the world has...
Did you have any doorbuster deals?
We did not have doorbuster deals. We're not doing any Black Friday sales. We're not doing any open early because most people right now are shopping for other people. And most of the people who shop for comic fans wait to the last second. And most comic fans shop for themselves every single week.
Yeah, exactly.
So you don't need to do anything special to get them in. It's been a regular Friday. We haven't seen a downturn in business. We haven't seen an upswing either, but we're not doing anything special for it.
Maybe
we're doing this. We're having around comics here.
Exactly,
that's what we're doing.
Exactly.
May I suggest putting a very thin slice of turkey in Green Lantern 48?
Thinly sliced meats inside issues.
It's a Christmas surprise. Why does my comic smell like rot?
Oh wow, this is great.
it's the whole Blackest Night tie-in. It has to smell like a zombie.
Blackest Night comes with gravy.
No, you know the drama.
Maybe people need to read it before they bag it.
Yeah. Well, one of the places that people can score some pretty good Christmas presents for the comic book geek in their life, and I'm sure if you're listening listening out there, you can suggest this to your loved ones to check out InStockTrades.com, where waiting for the trade has never been easier. InStock Trades is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, omnibus editions, absolute editions, essential showcases, and more, all at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 do, in fact, ship for free. And you can, of course, check out our book club selection, Hellblazer Dangerous Habits. It is discounted at 47% off the cover price. It can be yours for the low, low price of $7.94.
It's holiday themed.
Is it? The Hellblazer?
Yeah, right. It's got like a touch of...
It feels like Christmas.
Yeah. It feels like what he's going through is like spending time with your family.
Well, you know, it's in England, and so it's always cold and damp there, so it always feels like the holiday season.
Chris, I'm amazed how you don't even have to look at any paper or notes for those. You just go through that. You look down as if you're trying to read the InStock Trades ad, but it's just off the top of your head.
Marta has to wake me up in the middle of the night because I'm reading InStock Trades spots in the middle of the night.
Hardcovers, essential showcases, and more.
Honey, wake up. You said something about everything over $50 shipping for free. What was that?
Tell the truth, Nisa, man. It's like every time you give her an orgasm, you're like, and these brought to you by InStock.
We're waiting for the trade. It's never been easier.
This portion of our love life is brought to you by InStockTrades.com.
You know, Christian, running a comic store, I've never felt the need to go to InStock Trades, but now I kind of want to.
Yeah, you see?
You've added something new to
the spot. They work magic for you.
Oh.
And it is free shipping every time, isn't it, Chris?
It is always.
Don't forget,
always.
If your erection lasts more than 4 hours, that congratulations. All your blood is in your dick.
different website, Christian.
Oh, sorry.
It's all the same.
It's bookmarked on my computer.
You know, my English not so good, eh?
You know those French comic stores. They sell a lot more than just comics.
Yeah. The little blue pill in every issue.
We sell romance.
Blackest Night number 5 will give you an erection for 4 hours.
True.
When we say you're excited to read it, you'll be excited the whole time.
It's uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. If it lasts more than 4 hours, call more girls.
and we keep talking about Blackest Night. I've talked about it, you know, ad nauseum. But since we have Patrick here, I always
not ad nauseum.
Not enough. Keep on talking about it. That's good for Christian. I always like to talk about retailer business stuff whenever we have Patrick on. Blackest Night,
Blackest Night has been an amazing seller.
Good for
one
business.
Of the things that we did separately, and I don't know if we've mentioned this before on this show or not, but for each issue of Blackest Night, Challengers made a specific Lantern Corps tattoo that were given out with it.
Oh yeah,
number 5 is the Red Lantern Corps.
I love Patrick; he's the best.
For the very first issue, we had Christian here, and we had the Black Lantern tattoos, and he was mm-hmm. threatening me with his ring. It was for the prequel, punching him in the face.
Actually,
I don't know if I've shown you. I had a photo. Like, there's a guy who showed up at like the Wizard Convention this year in Chicago, like the big one.
Yeah.
He lifted his shirt. He had like all the rings tattooed for real in his back, like all the colors, like along his spine. He's like, hey. Check that out. I'm like, oh wow, that's great. I didn't want to say you're a moron.
Yeah. No, I'm like, you're really banking on this story turning out well.
Does that happen often? Do people come up to you, take their shirts off right away? Christian, take a look at this.
In my case, girls do it all the time, but that's just me. It's not necessarily related to Blackest Night.
And did he then say that he was collecting the creators that had worked on Blackest Night?
He tried to, at that point, I say, no comprendo. Sorry, my English. Not so good.
It was covering a 0 hour tattoo that he'd got during the 90s.
Mentioned my wife earlier in a weird way, but she actually suggested the music for this episode. I'm walking out of the house this morning, and to just let you know how kind of messed up my wife is, I was like, honey, why don't you pick the music for this episode this week? And she's like, all right, Marilyn Manson.
To commemorate
Black Friday, it's
every
Marilyn
time
Manson.
You mention music, we have a tradition on this show now. It's like Allons enfants de la patrie, le jour de gloire est arrivé.
You should play the Greek national anthem, the French national anthem. Bolster our international appeal.
We need to start thinking globally.
Don't you dub these into different languages every episode?
And transcribe them in different languages.
Yes.
Oh, don't even joke about that.
I think my presence on this show will probably land you like a TV podcast next time.
Oh, really? Yes. Yeah. We're going to be big in France.
Until have you seen French sees TV? Us on TV and then it's revoked immediately.
You still got hair. What are you complaining about? Okay.
So why do you think we'd be big in France? They kicked you out.
No, I escaped. That's different.
They kicked him out because he kept offering to charge his pink lantern with girls. So you know, we'll stop doing that.
We were talking about the Black Lantern rings. Well, last week we had a pretty cool guest that loved his Black Lantern ring whenever he was walking out of the store. I noticed that Lance Briggs threw that Black Lantern ring on and was sporting it pretty proud, proudfully as he was walking out. So it was kind of neat.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wish I made as much money as a professional athlete so I could buy as many comics.
Yeah, except by the time you're 30, which is pretty much what you are, you'd be broke.
Yeah. I am.
Because these guys have never worked like a job which doesn't pay in their lives. They start making millions as teenagers, and teenagers are not necessarily the brightest people on the planet with money.
Tom, we just wanted your life to be realistic to the goals that you can actually accomplish. So
it's
here you
like
go, buddy.
Me, when I started to work at DC
Comics, I'm eating a spoon made out of potatoes.
The first 100 million I made with DC was, he's gone basically.
Yeah. But you also thought you'd make that for every issue, right?
I mean, that was. I'm actually now like down to like a
couple hundred thousand per issue.
A high hundred near to a low thousand near, depending on the month. No, actually,
you're still living on Lobo money.
Actually, funny story. You know, it's a true story. It's kind of funny. It's like the first time I did Lobo. That's back in 92. I drew my first issue. Then I moved to the States. What I was paid for the issue, paid like for an apartment, like and all that. Then comes, it was in September. Comes Christmas Day. I was working on like another issue, which was I think the first Lobo annual. I'd worked all night, and Christmas Eve, the 24th, like in the morning, and it's 9 a.m. I've worked all night, and I'm broke. I'm like desperate. I'm working all night. I'm tired, and I'm broke. I know I'm broke, and it's
Santa
bad.
Claus shows up and finishes the page.
And FedEx shows up at 9 a.m. I get up from my drawing table, which I had not left, and I get this envelope, and it's like a check for royalties for the first Lobo I did. It was 10 grand. I could not believe it. And then for the Lobo annual one, I got 15 grand in royalties. And,
wow.
And I was 23 years old. I was like, that's it. You know, this country is so easy and all that. I remember taking the subway, like in New York, going to DC back and forth and all that. And looking at people in the subway who always look kind of like sad and all that, thinking,
like
poor saps. If only they knew. I understood their country in 5 minutes. They didn't know anything. It's easy to make money. And then I starved for 15 years. And that pretty much put an end to it.
Well, no, that's true. That does mean you actually understand the country more than you realize.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you weren't
and,
right there.
Yeah, somehow I lost the magic touch after 3 months.
That was back in the South
then
days.
I discovered the joys of spam.
cheap meats.
At times I had to like find, I used to like throw my coins in my pocket. I had a fake fireplace in my apartment in New York. I used to throw them like under there. Like it was filled like a little mountain of coins and dust. At times, when things were really bad at some point, I'd like to really go there and like find a few coins get spam.
Every Christmas after the one you got the check, were you up on Christmas morning when's more of that Lobo money? What's that Santa Claus Lobo money coming?
Mr. FedEx man, come back!
Every Christmas after that has sucked, basically. except this one could be all right with thank you, Jeff Jones. I love you.
Jeff Jones is your Santa Claus.
I tell you what, it's we were talking about the retail impact of Blackest Night, but DC doing really well in the top 300 I saw came out, and they had like the top four books last month
was beautiful. However, you have to think about something. Like I was talking about like the issues of Lobo back then. These were selling like about like 350,000 copies to 400,000. Now we're talking about like 100.
Glorious time in retail.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. And then of course everything went down. I remember there was a time where people like when everything went down, people had a hard time finding work, and people thought they were blacklisted, which may or may not have been the case. Of course, you know, I would call DC. I'm like, am I blacklisted or something? And I was super slow not delivering on time. So I would have been a prime candidate right there.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, so, you're at the top of the list.
And then again, I had enough, like as always, like friendly like editors, guys with whom I had a good contact and who liked my work enough. So I always like got by. But I had to go like to commercial illustration for a while. I did like storyboards for like TV commercials for Wendy's and like what have you, like just to earn a living. And curiously, I even landed a job for an animated series which was supposed to be online, written by Warren Ellis. So and I just called out of the blue, you know, like with my portfolio, some little company I'd seen like an ad for, and there I end up with people from comics again. Like that's just strange.
That's cool.
Thing. It never came out, sadly. It was a good thing. It was
good thing that it didn't come out.
No. Oh, okay. It was a good project. It was called Distance. Animated series online. I don't think it ever came out.
I'm sure he's recycled it and used it somewhere because he doesn't throw anything away.
Oh, it's quite possible. It's
coming
quite
out possible. From Avatar next month.
Doing a Wendy's commercial that had made you feel more American than most other things.
The good thing is like I worked with like that company in New York called like Curious Pictures. They do a lot of animation for commercials. They have like a whole like range of artists and animators working in different styles, and it's a small enough company but doing really well like in that field. And I designed like a futuristic like Wendy's commercial, like with like little kids on flying motorcycles going to their to the Wendy's
future restaurant
to get whatever that's and then I was there for the shoot. They shoot indoors like in their own studio, so you had like little kids, they had a jet ski there like inside in front of the green screen. And the best part, they had like the biggest buffet I've ever seen. So I was just hanging there, like stuffing myself. I was like, yeah, commercials rock, man.
Call Michelle, honey, I got dinner for tonight. Don't worry about it.
Bring down an empty suitcase.
We're okay for this week.
Don't open that can of spam. We're good.
Well, your wife, you know,
let the cat out of the cage. It's not for tonight.
You've received a reprieve.
Well, you were in New York for quite a while, and your wife Michelle was still is an actress, and she'd done some stuff on like Law and Order.
She has. Like she had like a small part in Law and Order. Like a recurrent part, like in I think two or three episodes. She also had a small part in a De Niro movie called like how was it called? Unbelievable! Now I forget. I have the DVD at home. I watch it. It's in my furniture there. I look at it every day.
Cape Fear.
No. It's De Niro and
with David Caruso and Bill Murray.
No. The kid who played like Harry Osborn in Spider-Man, like
James Franco. It was
James Franco.
Yeah, it was the
City by the Sea.
City by the Sea. That's it. Oh okay. My God, I'm so embarrassed. And she has a small part in there. Like, so she had done a lot of theater before that, not so much on film, and she has played in a few independent films and all that. But she pretty much like has stopped acting now and. She worked in real estate after for a while. Now she's got a good job here and all that. So I don't know.
Does she do any Chicago theater now that you guys are here?
I don't know that she's trying like to get back in touch with people she knew, but it seems like everybody's like gone somewhere else or like
kind of like the comic industry.
She seems to say also like compared to New York, Chicago is very much. A place for theater and stuff like that, which is very active, but at the same time, it's very much on the basis of who you know. It's a small club, she seems to imply. I don't know anything about acting, quite frankly, except in real life.
No, that makes sense. Pretend, and a lot of the bigger theater companies in Chicago.
Except for lying in real life.
I've been pretending being French for so many years.
Man, this
stuff,
is quite the accent, eh?
Actually, I got New Jersey. Tom, do you have any other comics to talk about?
I wanted to mention.
I got to see a little stack of stuff there.
I wanted to mention Brave and the Bold number 29, which was the Batman and Brother Power, the Geek by J. Michael Straczynski and Jesus Saez.
Jesus Saez is doing such a great work on that book.
Yes.
He's got such a clean style. This is the kind of line work that Salvador LaRocca should be doing in Vince Wireman and isn't, but he's so expressive.
Saez is the guy who used to do Manhunter, right?
Yes.
Guy's wonderful. Like, yeah, really, really
he's
good
artist. He's got a very recognizable style, but it fits to any character he's doing. Look at his Batman. His Batman is great. His Batman is fluid and dynamic, but still moody and creepy at the same time.
I was impressed both by the art and the previous two issues I'd read. I honestly didn't really like what JMS has been doing, because I think with this book, he's treading a pretty thin line between sometimes it's overly sentimental, and it can come across as a little goofy, which I think the first two at points.
I like the Flash Blackhawks one because it was very much a Veterans Day issue of Brave and the Bold, and I saw it for what it was. It almost had a 1940s sentimentality to it.
I feel that it did as well.
Yeah, this one to me was the strongest one he's done so far, and it involved the silliest character you could have possibly had, which is Brother Power the Geek, like a mannequin from the 60s who went around like advocating peace and helping hippies out. And
I was going to say, I had no idea who that character
is. Yeah, and
really?
No,
oh, man.
None.
Oh, wow.
Brother Power, man.
He's great.
Joe Simon.
Yeah. And of course, he comes back to life in Gotham City, and Batman runs across him, and we see Batman as a kid being fascinated by Frankenstein was like one of his favorite movies, and his allusions between Frankenstein and Brother Power. And it could very easily not work at all. And there's a couple points where it kind of teeters close to it, where like there's a montage sequence where it shows like how great things were in the 60s and how stupid they are now, which I thought was a little like JMS needed to ease up a bit on that. But at the end, it had, I think, a kind of a cool message to it that wasn't too in your face, and it wasn't too silly, so it treaded that line properly, and it actually came across really well.
I think JMS is doing a good job of establishing a specific feel for that book. Yeah. And he's trying to make it, this is what this book is about, kind of, not necessarily its own built-in continuity, but it does, he's trying to give it an identity when before it was just random team up after random team up.
It's a little bit of like a morality tale every time. Yeah, like
I'm just happy a younger lad like Tom knows about subtlety, although he cannot spell it. Obviously,
no.
It's too difficult. So he has to say, it's not too much, but not enough. It's
like this subtlety.
Have you seen the commercials lately on TV? It's like too strong or not strong enough.
Yeah. That's me. That's what I'm trying to aim for the commercial.
With the driving
this
dog,
one is just right.
This book was just correct as far as
young
it goes.
People nowadays.
Well, yeah. Speaking of,
thanks for calling me young. Yeah. I guess I am the youngest one.
You are the youngest one.
Yeah, well.
It's relative.
For the ladies out there, he's already balding, okay?
So yeah.
Don't get any ideas.
And I'm married. And I'm married, so.
That aged you 10 years
me,
right
I'm
there.
Not actually married. I want just wanted to correct that.
You guys are common law.
More of the acting.
They don't do that. Illinois has no common law.
Sure. Oh, okay.
We're still playing hard to get.
Well, that's what you know me.
It's like
I'm like that kid in Twilight. I'm so popular lately. It's just like unbelievable.
That's actually.
And he's also very sparkly.
When I think of Twilight, I think of you. I always think...
Well, I look better, a little more mental than that kid. But
the hordes of screaming teenage girls that
I think of
around.
Werewolves and
the
jean shorts.
The tender scenes in the forest where he's looking in her eyes and goes, you'll never see me again.
Yeah. I think of a werewolf in jean shorts.
Oh, you guys have actually seen the movies. Whoa. Unbelievable.
Just the commercials.
you just got called out.
Just from the scenes, I've never seen it.
Patrick, sure. I got you right there.
Speaking of JMS, just finished up his run on Thor, I believe. Is this the last issue?
It is his last issue. It's sad
finale.
It's his last issue. It shouldn't have to be his last issue, but thank you for that, Marvel.
Explain. This is the Thor giant size number one. It's
actually giant size Thor finale number one.
Okay.
The Warrior.
I got the feeling. I liked the issue. I didn't feel like it was the end of...
Well...
A run on a...
It wasn't supposed to be his end. You know what happened coming up to it. When Thor restarted, JMS had asked that Thor be left alone and outside of Marvel continuity for a while till he could tell the story that he's trying to tell.
Which was fantastic.
And he doesn't want him mired in all these crossovers and things like that. And at first they said, yeah, sure, go ahead. But little by little, people wanted to keep using him. And because he's so popular and the Thor relaunch sold so well, they started pulling him out and bringing him into so many other things. And JMA said, look, you're going to mess up with what I'm trying to do. And they said, no, we're going to do them both. And he said, well, then I'm leaving.
Well,
and there's no reason that's not just a regular issue of the book.
Yeah.
They made it. They call it giant size finale. They give you an unnecessary backup. Oh, it's the first appearance of Thor ever. We don't need that for an extra dollar.
I've never seen that before.
Exactly. That's the first time it's been reprinted ever.
It's hard to find that.
It's a regular issue. And he didn't even, the story goes that JMS didn't even know it was a special one shot until he saw the solicitations for it, because he turned it in as the next issue of Thor.
Yeah, I mean, there's
no reason for it to be a standalone. It doesn't make any sense. It's just the next part of the story. And the next issue comes out next week.
Yeah, and I felt like Thor has been so good since he took it over. It's the first time I've read Thor since probably the Simonson era, and I was absolutely loving it. And I
really good.
Just don't feel like that story is going to have the resolution.
A young French artist, Olivier Coipel, like, who's been doing
who is amazing.
Fantastic.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, I bought a page of one of the earlier Thor books. It's so good.
Yeah, so, you know, I enjoyed the giant size finale number one or whatever it was.
Did you read the preview in the back of that for the next issue?
Yeah.
Everything that they set up, Kieran Gillen, who, by the way, is...
I like Kieran Gillen.
Is way better than most people thought he would be, completely just chops it off at the knees and goes in a different direction entirely. Yeah.
Which, you know, honestly, I think that new creative team should be able to start their own story and do what they want to within bounds. You know,
but as a fan, there's so many things that we were leading towards, and I don't even want to say what the things are because the book that we're talking about hasn't even come out yet.
Mm-hmm.
But with the what is the name of Bill's girlfriend? I don't remember.
Kelda.
Her story, as they build it up, like, oh, this is going to be a huge thing. No, it's not.
Yeah. So.
Or having the preview in that book, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a little bit
Peanut Gallery comment.
Well, I understand where Straczynski's coming from, but don't you also think, sorry, Tom, I don't mean to come in for a kiss or anything like that.
No, go ahead, John.
Come on, right, guys, do it.
No, but...
that was vile.
No, but honestly, these are corporate characters, and which is bigger, Straczynski or Thor, as far as Marvel goes? And I totally understand
Thor's
what Straczynski...
smaller than you think, shorter.
Well, okay, there you go. But but honestly, I mean, is any character too... or any assignment, I guess, too precious to...
I think the number one overriding factor in any of this, and this is something I respect about Quesada, is that whenever he came in, he said, this is the house is a mess, and we're going to basically not worry about continuity, we're going to tell good stories.
Yeah.
And, you know, say what you will about Quesada and his tenure as EIC there, but they came in, they started telling good, rock-solid stories and then rebuilt the continuity. I think the number one overriding factor in anything that you do is tell a good story. And, well, now we don't get the end of the story as
that's
it was. So, yeah. I think
that's always a question. Like, every creative team should bring something to the table. That's mm-hmm. that's quite obvious. Beyond their talent, they should add to the pre-existing mythology, mythos. The problem is, like, is it about the character or is it about them? And that's always, I think, the thing that needs to be balanced every time. That's
I think balance is the word that will keep coming up in this, is because there are writers that tell great standalone stories, and there are writers that are great at wrapping continuity. It's the real superstar writers, the Geoff Johns of the world, the Bendises of the world, that can do both and do it really, really well. So.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm a little bit upset, or not upset, but disappointed with how much we know about what goes on behind the curtain.
Sure.
Because I would probably enjoy Thor more if I didn't know why people were leaving, or that people were leaving, or if I just read it for the story for what it was. And it's too oftentimes, you know, oh, well, this is why the story is that way. Well, it doesn't matter why. It just matters what the story is, but I lose sight of that all the time.
Sure.
I totally
agree. I think, like, I go online and I check out, like, various sites and that. There's so much inside information that's a real...
and that's what everybody wants. Everybody wants to know the behind the scenes. They want to be the first person to get it to you as well.
That's a disservice to the industry. Personally, it really I don't have a website or, like, anything, or Facebook or, like, what have you. First, I'm not that famous. I would not have, like, that many people following. But then the last thing I need is, like, interact with the fans. I love meeting them at conventions, at signings, and all that, and talking with them, like, humanly. But their feelings about my work, or which is, in my case, I'm just an inker right now. So, or about the
never
work.
Never say just an inker.
Is yeah, I know.
I'm currently an inker.
I know where you're coming from, too. So... But their feeling about, like, what's being done is irrelevant. It's like basically they are here to like or dislike, like, the end result, not to have an input in it. Yes. And that's very important. You need, like, people who are able to write stories standing on their own, like, not trying to please a certain audience or, like, whatever. It will stand on its own merits. And the same goes for the artwork, obviously. And this whole, like, inside thing, as well as, like, the various feuds in the business, some famous ones and all that.
Sure. And
they're
and
a
none
great
of that
disservice to everyone.
Absolutely.
That doesn't help.
But it's only help. Human nature to want to know and to pass it along and say, oh, did you hear
it
this?
I
know
true. About this. It is true, but in the movie industries, at the end, at the end of the day, a movie is big enough, everybody's going to see it just because of like pure... sheer peer pressure, or like, you know, like you're brainwashed into it, or like what have you. And these guys go home with millions of dollars anyway. Like in comics, that can be a little more difficult here. Like it can sometimes, like, I think, undermine a title, which does not deserve to be undermined. At the end of the day, it's about the work. People should not know. It's not because they want to know something that you should give it to them.
That's very true.
That's not, you know, like that's always like the line of people who's like do like dubious businesses or like what have you. What people want it. I'm like, well, that's no reason to give it to them. That's just like you have to draw the line somewhere.
Also, being in retail, people expect you to know all of those stories, or it's my job to either dispel them or to try to tell them what actually is the truth, but when ultimately it doesn't matter and it shouldn't. But just getting the comic isn't enough. People, and I'm just as guilty as anybody else of, like I said, I judge a book by why a story is being told, not just the story itself, and that makes me sad.
Keep the mystery alive, I think. Yeah. It's just like, who are these guys? What do they do? Nobody knows. Like, just look at the books. Read the books. That's what it's about. Keep them. You don't need to divulge everything. That's why so many women love me, because I don't say everything.
You can keep a secret. You can definitely keep a secret.
Keep the mystery alive. Yeah. Me and Bruce Wayne were on the same page on that one. You know.
Just well, like, I think because what it does is, I think part of it is when the gossip or all that stuff gets so built up so big, all of a sudden, the person writing or drawing the book is bigger. Like we mentioned earlier,
it starts being. You shouldn't be.
But yeah, exactly. But that's, then all of a sudden,
the characters should stay the main.
Then all of a sudden, in the eye of the reader, you know, it's like this: people working at it are now a bigger thing than the stuff that's going on in the book.
Well, I think in the case of Thor, that the way that we've seen the industry kind of evolve in the last decade is that things have become very much built for the 6-issue storyline, and I think that he came in with, this is going to be an 18 or 24
a couple years.
This is going to be like up. 2.5 years of me to tell this story, and it's like, you know what? It's just not built to do that right now.
Especially with a book like Thor that was getting later and later and later.
Falling behind.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I think the big picture isn't designed for a 24-issue run of a core character like Thor.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the thing. And to be honest, it is fair to point out that Brubaker was left on his own with Captain America. Mm-hmm. Bendis was left on his own with Daredevil during his. So it is interesting. And you would think that Straczynski, being the caliber writer that he is and coming from Hollywood, that he would be given that. Or Joss Whedon on Astonishing X-Men. So it is interesting that a name creator like Straczynski wasn't able to have that cachet with Thor and have it go on for years.
To go back to Joss Whedon for a second, there were so many other books that had those extra characters in it, it didn't matter.
That's true.
But if it wasn't for Thor being late and being behind, we would never have gotten those amazing Matt Fraction Ages Tales of Thunder, the Asgardian Thor stuff, absolutely, which was so good, but they needed something else to fill the gap when Thor was falling behind.
Well, you know, Thor was kind of a unique case because you have a character that had been killed, so he was off the map. You had a quote unquote superstar writer that was coming to kind of
announced Thor creative team. Remember, it was going to be Mark Miller and Greg Land were going to be doing it.
Oh, that's right.
And then never mind, forget that. That didn't happen. So they'd had other... They knew they were going to bring him back. They're just waiting for the right thing. And they obviously waited to the right time.
So, I don't know. It's we're never going to see the conclusion of the story.
Get back finish the 12.
What I do like...
No kidding.
And that's another thing, is that Straczynski, not the best reputation as being a closer. So,
But I am a big fan of Marko Dragicevic doing the art on that. I was. He's a good successor to Coypel.
Yes.
They'll finish the story in 17 years like they did with like Claremont in the X-Men. It's going to
come
back.
It'll be Thor forever.
Which, when you take X-Men Forever as just a book, it's a lot of fun.
You know, Ron from My Fanboy loves that book, and I've been giving him some crap about it. But I
if you compare it to everything that's come beyond it, it's not good.
It's the solution to what they've been trying to do with Claremont since he... has come since back. He still writes, trying to find a way for a book that still is. Well, yeah, exactly. Well, give him a book that might as well be.
And little caveats like, oh well, Gambit's name was not LeBeau, it's Picard. I'm making it Remy Picard.
Well,
you
really need Christian,
to change that? Does that matter?
Chris Claremont, you're friendly with Chris.
Yes.
You had worked on what was the name of the book?
First Flight. Yes. It never came out, but the adaptation of his novels, First Flight.
Have you had a chance to talk to him about the X-Men Forever?
I did briefly. I saw him after many years. I'm talking about maybe after 12 years. I saw him in Florida in last June. We were at a convention together, and we flew back. He flew back to New York, me to Chicago. But yeah, we spent a little time together, and so we caught up. And I told him, you know, like how much everybody misses the X-Men, like blah blah. And interestingly, we spoke about like I think I mentioned that like in one of our last shows. Like we spoke about like the he brought up like the Joss Whedon series, like the Astonishing,
the first 24,
which were really good. I mean, that's I stopped reading the X-Men in 1984 or 85. So that
Astonishing is the best place to pick back up.
But I've read these, and I was like, this was great. And he was like, precisely. And he had a little smile on his face, and he was like, I was like, this was great. This was exactly like in the vein of what you were doing and all that. So he was like, yeah, except I should have been doing it. So it was an acknowledgement of the quality, I think, of like the series Joss Whedon and Cassidy were doing. And at the same time, a bit maybe of disappointment and on his part, like of like, well, you know, that's the stuff I've been doing like all these years. And it seems Forever as is a chance for him to get back to that.
Sure.
I don't know if I'm sorry. I've been reading like the first issues. I've yet to catch up to the last ones who came out. I think I'm like up.
Well, they're doing two a month as well, so they're really putting them out there quickly.
I think I'm up to issue 6, and so far I've really liked what I was reading. At the same time, I'm questioning: is that like a good idea to get back to where we were back then, like 17 years ago? In retrospect, like things like change so fast in comics, you wouldn't think like that. I don't know, it's up to him. However, I think like he's been doing a good job, because I definitely feel the vibe I used to feel when I read the X-Men and enjoyed them. There is
that, it's a nostalgia book.
Well, there's that Claremont touch, which it's indescribable, but it's there.
I was going to say, there's very few books that have one person that is so attached to them. Like
he made the X-Men.
There's an audience for there, and has been shown with the number of times they've given him different X books to do.
There are Claremont fans
There are people that want to read Claremont writing X-Men, and they finally found probably the best way to do it was let him write where he left off.
Certainly, ways to do it was to call it Sovereign Seven.
The X-Men without Claremont is like pain without chocolat. It's just, it doesn't work. Imagine the Cubs lost like endlessly, like for say 100 years or more. It's unthinkable. So you know, that's just like
it could never happen.
This portion of Around Comics is brought to you by Evangelion from Funimation. Imagine having Dr. Frankenstein as your father. Your classmate and fellow pilot is a partial clone of your dead mother, and she's hot. You've been forced by your father to pilot a giant living robot named Eva Unit 1 to fight deadly creatures called angels from destroying the planet. And to top it off, you have raging teenage hormones, and it's the end of the world if you screw up. No pressure. The Evangelion 1.01 You Are Not Alone movie is the complete rebuild of the groundbreaking sci-fi giant robot anime. Otaku USA magazine writes that Evangelion reminds us of what anime can be by having us flex all of our otaku muscles, yet always satisfies our basest needs for cute girls and mecha. Watch the first 8 minutes of the movie at www.funimation.com/Evangelion. Evangelion 1.01, You Are Not Alone, available now on DVD. You know, we talk about relaunching titles and stuff that's been pushed off to the side. I think, Tom, I think you're going to have a good 2010 because I think that Flash is going to have a good year.
And there's no evil 60 Superman in it.
So oh, God. That's scary. The omniscient uncle Superman teaching you life lessons.
I'm sure you've been kind of keeping up with what is hopefully going to be happening with Flash this year.
Yeah.
All right. What are you looking forward to?
I'm just looking forward to like a monthly Flash book that. It's been a long time since there
Are
was
you
a really
that disappointed that Rebirth hasn't ended before Blackest Night began?
You know, that stuff, I could see why it would bother somebody. Stuff doesn't bother me a ton.
Honestly,
but.
I kind of thought that the way they were going with Rebirth was to be a giant swerve and have him die by the end of it. John's shaking his head too. Yeah, that's where I thought they were going with it.
Yeah.
You mean bring him back to kill him again?
Yes.
Or like I didn't think about
just
that.
Just to reestablish, because there's so many people who I know who are not necessarily lifelong comic fans who Wally West is their Flash.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dal specifically, when you talk about the Flash or Barry Allen, he's like, I don't care about Barry Allen. I need to bring him back. So I thought a really good way to establish that, no, this Wally is the Flash, is to bring Barry back and have him go away again.
Yeah,
I have read more issues of like Flash with Wally West than I ever had.
And a lot of
Barry
people
Allen.
Have. Yeah. It's in.
However, even then, I always knew Barry Allen is a Flash. It's just one of these. And I have read more Green because like the switch occurred later for Green Lantern. To me, Green Lantern, it's obvious that the main one should be Hal Jordan.
Sure.
However, I refuse to enter these like feuds like online.
Oh,
cows,
good
who's
Lord.
The better?
Like, that's ridiculous.
Green Lantern
I stuck my
core.
Foot into one of those. Good Lord.
That's ridiculous.
Oopsie.
I mean. Hey, the universe is big enough for like all of them.
As
okay,
many
that's,
of them, yeah, and it's set up so it can be that way. And there can be multiple
Cal
Flashes,
Rayner is
too.
A wonderful character as well.
Absolutely.
My only regret is like Jon Stewart is not more used more often. And I know issue 49, which sadly is the one we're not doing with Doug,
mm-hmm.
I believe we'll deal with like Jon Stewart like more in detail, like his whole like part into like Blackest Night.
Okay.
I hope so. These guys should be he should be more present in the Green Lantern mythos.
Do you guys like the visual solution to having Barry and Wally exist as Flashes?
The new
Tom go first.
The new Flash.
It looks like
Flash uniform.
The old a lot more like costumes he used to wear.
It
back
is. The only problem is the way that Ivan Reis is drawing him is. The costume is supposed to be white eyes. He's just giving him white pupils. He's not giving him.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like
a lens. Yeah, it's supposed to be a lens over the mm-hmm. holes.
Yeah.
But he's drawing it open, and you see his eyes, but they're all just white.
Well, I don't have
pupils. John Byrne used to be Wolverine.
Yes,
sometimes he would put like a white
or Storm. Yeah.
Yeah, it always disturbed me. I was like, no, it doesn't work. You know, make the expression. For example, if you want the character to look back in a kind of strange angle and like twist the head a little more, it will work better. Keep the eyes white.
Keep the visual, yeah.
That's but he pointed out on his website, like John Byrne, I think that Neil Adams did that a few times. I don't know if it's true. I should go back and check with Batman.
Why would you doubt John Byrne? Oh my God, Christian! What are you doing?
He's right.
I am sinning.
Why would he be wrong? But I think the costumes. I mean, it all comes down to the people
as
drawing.
I used to call
it,
him
you know?
When I was a teenager. Before I knew, it's like John Byrne. Because
Byrne.
Y is red I in French. So I thought when I was about 12, it's like John Byrne. That's like a beautiful book, John Byrne, The X-Men with Terry Austin and Chris Claremont.
Yeah, but just saying it that way gives it
don't
such
forget,
a more regal.
I told you once, like his real names of the characters, Serval.
That's right. French, yeah.
Diablo, Colossus, Le Professeur Xavier.
I think when Ethan Van Sciver first announced that he was going to be redesigning Wally's costume, all of us saw the outcry from the fans saying, oh my God, what's Wally going to look like? And I think there is a nice subtle difference that doesn't hurt Wally's appearance and that Wally is still the Flash.
I don't like that the costume goes straight across under the nose.
No,
I missed the points.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. The one artist who really, we were talking about him like last week, is Mike Veringo. Like when he was drawing the Flash, in some story he had like both Wally and like Barry, and the difference was like first the eyes appearing for like Barry And then the Wally's costume was more was shinier.
It was more metallic,
Yeah, more metallic. And with this simple difference, the costumes remained the same, yet you could always tell who was who. Exactly. I think it was a beautiful, elegant solution.
Christian, here's a technical question for you. To make it more metallic, is that a dry brush technique? Is that... How do you? What do you do with the lines to make
depends, it? It really depends on the artist, I guess. Usually it's like, I would say a blunt brush stroke. In other words, metal shines in more cut ways than skin.
So it wouldn't obviously. Be as fluid to the muscles. I'm using Tom's arm.
You need like...
Fluid to the... Look at those. Whoa, Tom, what is... Keep it like very 18 inches there. Nice job, man.
Python.
Keep the contrast very strong, and then it will work. Okay. And let's say it's really black and white with metal, and you can add a few lines, but don't make it gray. Metal doesn't go gray.
Yeah, I think it's weird sometimes when people like get really hung up on the costumes, but it's really honestly when different people draw the costumes, they all
it does look a little different too.
They
there's a style
look,
guide, but yeah, I mean,
but there's who draws it's always
how do you feel
difference.
About Wally now having the Justice League Unlimited Flash symbol as his chest symbol?
That's fine.
Doesn't bother you?
Yeah, okay. It doesn't bother
you. You don't get hung up on stuff like that, which I like. It's like,
as long as it's not Superman from the 60s, I think it's fine.
Well, yeah, I think we've stumbled.
I don't need some Superman showing up to give me a life lesson and like disguising himself as someone and then being like, oh, hey, guess what?
I just felt that with Rebirth not ending, there was a lot of questions I had about is Barry going to survive? Yeah. And his personality was different.
Yeah.
But now he's back to being good old Barry at the beginning of Blackest Night.
True.
So there's no... urgency to the end of Rebirth anymore. It's like, oh, it's gonna be fine.
Yeah, well, that's sort of the. No, I can see that.
It's its own story, and I think you should read it. It's a murder mystery, and I think they set that up from the beginning. That Rebirth is it's gonna be its own story.
Well, and I want to know what happens to Zoom. Quite frankly,
oh, yeah.
Because
oh,
I
yeah.
think John, Zoom. I want Zoom there.
Don't read the solicitations for Blackest Night Flash then.
All right then,
because it gives away way too much about.
Interesting.
Yeah. Did you read them?
I don't read previews because of that.
Yeah, you especially should not.
You know,
I was a little disappointed having read it. About
we're getting back to that thing. I understand the need, like to you know, spill some stuff online and all that to attract the readers. At the same time, I see like the Blackest Night. Like for the past several months, we get like 5 pages every month, like leaked out, which is like about like a 1/4 of the comic almost. That's too much, and even covers. You should like. Lately, they've been doing, because Blackest Night is so sensitive right now, they've been blacking out the covers. Top Secret is all you see.
I really like
don't
what...
Don't leak that stuff out. I mean, I understand, I don't know, there's no balance there. It's too much or not enough. I mean, you read like 1/4 of the comic online before
I'm with Tom. I stay away from previews. I stay away from online previews. I don't read solicits.
But companies love to pander to readers, because readers want to know that's the nature of the business. They feel they have to give it to them. No, they'll wait until it comes out. That's the thing. That's the principle of the cliffhanger. Well, you know, that's just like
as a retailer, there's certain things you should know when ordering a book. The problem is retailers can't be trusted. So if secrets are ever given to retailers to order books a certain way, they will be leaked immediately. So many people, because people want to be the one, like, it's not about, you know what happens, it's about I'm the one who tells you what happened, so you have to respect me more.
First.
Does like that is that kind of communication though from a publisher to a retailer? Sorry about that. Does that come out monthly, or does it take those Baltimore like conferences for that stuff to come out?
It takes those kind of things.
And
because
so is that quarterly then?
We get weekly emails from both Marvel and DC and Dark Horse and sometimes Image, not necessarily weekly, but with. Specific publication changes, art changes or writing changes or incentive covers, because Marvel announces more than half their incentive covers are offered after the book has already been ordered. So all the business information we get on a weekly basis. But as far as story elements, we get them when previews comes out. Right. But they give them to Newsarama or to CBR first now.
Mm-hmm. IGN. And
exactly.
All that.
So it's personally, I don't read those sites, but I don't have to. Dal does and just tells me what I need to know.
Okay.
Because after working here for a full day, I don't want to go home and read more about comics.
Well, it's because you have a snappy dresser of a butler. And that's
Dumps your butler.
You know, honestly, I can speak for Newsarama and as someone that works with them, and sometimes it is to great frustration where – they do get the information well in advance and are very good about even gatekeeping to their own people. Because, again, I'm not an employee of Newsarama, but I work with them and my relationship with their podcast. But there are times when I will interview someone, it will come out when the book is out. And I wish they had told me, oh, by the way, we know this story element.
And there's things that Newsarama knows before retailers know.
Sure.
And there's specific instances in the publishing history in the last 3 or 4 years where we've been burned by both ways, by either them not telling us what happens and us getting caught completely short, or not telling us what happens and saying, remember the last time you got caught short? Think of that when you order this book. And you order the book
and it's not.
Elektra's a Skrull. That's not as impactful as Captain America getting killed.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the same. They build on hyperbole. They build on rumor, and they want you to say, oh, my God, well, this is the greatest thing ever, and you have to – every book is the best book ever.
You can only cry wolf so many times.
My biggest problem with it is, like, it all hangs on the faulty assumption that, like, you leak something on Monday because people will not wait until Wednesday. And that just like that's so ridiculous to begin with. I can't even begin to explain it. It's like what happens on Tuesday? Something magical? Suddenly they waited for a month, but on Tuesday they can't take it. I'm never gonna buy that book anymore. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. It's like 2 days apart they feel the need to leak like half a book, I mean quarter of the book online, and like just like give like this information. And I think, yeah, I understand. It's like, but we live in the age of TMZ, like even comic books, I guess. That's just like all we need is like the blonde dude surfer, like to tell us, like, you know, bullshit about like what happens between, you know.
You won't believe what happens in Thor this week. You know, just like the quick rundown.
Well, dude, Thor was like out there in LA, like coming out of this club last night. He punched like
Jeff
a paparazzi in the face.
Jeff Johns did some really good things building up for Blackest Night. He outright lied to people. People said, "Is it Necros?" No, it's not. It's not at all.
Yeah.
Or he made up a bunch of fake issues and posted those as upcoming storylines. Things like Blackest Night, Alan Scott remembered. Like, oh my God, Alan Scott's going to die. No, it's just – or just today somebody was telling me, did you know that Kyle's going to be a Blue Lantern? No, he's not. No, there's a book coming out called Kyle Rayner, Blue Lantern. No, those are fake solicits Jeff Johns wrote like 6 months ago.
Boy, does he get it. That's awesome.
Yeah, and that was great. That's absolutely great.
Okay. I will never grow up to be a big rock star celebrated victim.
I think we stumbled onto a little bit of a theme tonight with old stuff coming back, and so we would be remiss if we didn't mention Image United number one. Have you guys had a chance to read it yet?
Chris, I want to know, you're holding up the Savage Dragon cover. How did you choose that of the 642 possible covers of number one?
That was the thing.
They are really bringing everything back.
It is 90s.
Can I tell you guys the one most annoying facet of Image United number one? The Jim Lee cover.
You were able to narrow it down?
The Jim Lee cover that they offered it after we ordered the book.
Uh-huh.
So they're saying, hey, there's one more. It's a Jim Lee cover.
Is that the group shot or no?
No, it's the Evil Spawn one. It's
okay,
the standalone Spawn.
Gotcha.
It ordered after the fact. That's fine. We weren't going to say like, oh gosh, we would have ordered less of the other ones. That's not the problem. The problem is because it was after the initial order cutoff point, you get charged less of a percentage for reorder fees. So it costs us more to get that cover than the rest of them because we ordered after the deadline for a book that wasn't offered to us until after the deadline.
Okay.
So we're being penalized by – it's a couple of percentage points, but it's still
– You guys live on percentage
points. Yeah, we do. And we have to pay – if you want the Jim Lee cover, you have to pay more for it, but you still sell it for the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have to get the Jim Lee cover.
And Diamond is well, I mean, it's a business practice within their right to penalize us for not ordering something on time when we had a chance to order it. here's all the other things you can't have, too late.
Well, it's been released now, and in true early 90s Image fashion, did you have people come in and go, I need every cover?
We had one person do that, yes.
Okay.
He let us know ahead of time.
And I want how many? Six? 8 covers?
There's 6 regular covers, but there's different levels of incentive covers up to like the 1 in 100 cover kind of thing.
I just thought it was perfect that they did it that way.
I bought the blank cover because I know I'm going to run into somebody and have them sketch on it and stuff. So that's what I figured.
I'm shocked they didn't come out polybagged
or holofoil or
oh absolutely
embossed.
You know, and the image revolution, and I know that all mm-hmm. you guys were of that generation,
of the generation.
See, and being the old fart that I am, I really was like, yeah, that's nice, but I'm really not interested. So I really was able to read the story mm-hmm. completely unbiased. And I liked it as a first chapter, and I'll come back just because I like Kirkman and I know that, what he does. But honestly, yeah, I have no vested interest in any of the great stars of Image as far as the heroes goes.
With what John's saying, because with the number of times they've touted out the Image creators are back together. Remember the Image hardcover or
yes.
this Image creator, or that Image creator, or they've done it so many times. It's not novel. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's not. I mean, the book stands on its own because of the story, going back to what we were talking about before, because of the story, not for the gimmick of who's doing it or the behind-the-scenes stuff. Wow, this ties together perfectly what we were talking about before.
I think the art meshes well together, too. And, I mean, for a jam book and everything, I think they did a good job of
that. I found myself, trying to find, okay, who drew this?
Who drew what page and everything?
Yeah. I mean, it was
– What did you think?
I had to put on my early 90s nostalgia glasses to read it, both from a story standpoint and an art standpoint. And it's like, okay, are they trying to embrace everything that was early 90s Image? And I think they are. And if that was the goal, then they did a fantastic job of that. Does it stand up as a modern comic to my taste? No, not at all. If this wasn't Image United, if this was just, comic book X on the shelves, mm-hmm. and I had picked it up as a first issue, it's like, I'm never going to ever going to read that book again.
Well, I think that having Fortress be the point of view character is a little bit off-putting because he's not a core Image character.
True. That's Wills's new character. Yeah. Wills Portacio's a new character.
Yeah, it was fine. It was fine.
But what does work for me, and I would say of all the Image characters, the one, and probably because of the HBO animated show that I do have the most. Yeah, making Al Simmons the bad guy mm-hmm. was a good move, and the fact that he doesn't show up until the very end and everything. I'll be back for issue 2, and I will check it out further.
I understand what you're saying. The spawn counter to infinity was a pretty cool visual. But who even remembers the spawn counter thing anymore? Do they even use that in the books?
And that's what was cool about it, too.
I remember it because,
I'm assuming they used it at the very end when they transferred Al's powers to the new Spawn.
Well, I read Spawn for, 20 issues or whatever, and that was a big part of it. So sure. I think they're trying to tap into a lot of the guys, like us, that maybe read the first 12 or 15 or 20 issues of a lot of these series.
Yeah, I gave up at 25.
And then left and say, there's the counter. Okay, that's interesting. So, Patrick asked me whenever I first pulled it out of my bag, why did you pick the Savage Dragon cover? Well, Savage Dragon is the only character out of all the original Image characters that I still read.
Yeah, me too.
I picked up the cover of the guy that I read.
And Robert's obviously the perfect guy, Kirkman, to write this story, being the lifelong fan. And mm-hmm. also, I think the most relevant writer that mm-hmm. They could go to that can, I think, serve both heads.
From a symbolic point, having all the original guys and the new guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Be the one that ties it all together.
The only partner afterwards.
Do you guys think, I don't want to, start something that shouldn't be started maybe, but like, in retrospect, what do you guys think about Image? I mean, I know when they first started, I thought like that was terrific, that like mm-hmm. some young talent like could build a company outside of the established system, basically. At the same time, I never read their comics. I didn't care for them. So I've always been like torn between both these things. And they were great talents.
Well, there. Image today is so far removed from what that was. Now Image is a point where all mainly for new creators or people who come with this, you have to come to them with a completely established or finished property, and they just publish it for you. They don't create anymore.
It's more of a boutique publisher, boutique publisher.
Yeah, it's the home. It's the home of creator-owned comics under an umbrella imprint.
But by the same token, it went from being a company where we felt like we had to order every single thing they did. Yeah. So now we totally pick and choose. I'm sorry, you were asking.
Were you read the early Image stuff?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's like 13. So.
Sure, of course you did.
Yeah, I mean,
I was going to say our last guest a couple weeks ago is probably very excited about Image United.
Brandon Choi. No, Lance Briggs. Absolutely.
Lance Briggs.
Yeah.
He was very excited.
I mean, it's the whole image thing. It's all the ton of really good stuff and then a ton of really bad stuff. Like anything that's a huge change from the previous method. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had young guys making their own stuff that wasn't from Marvel or DC, but then you also had books not coming out, things starting to spin out. Like this, it was good and bad. Boom. I mean, and tremendous good came of it in the long run because the comics industry is much better for having Image around. Yeah. But
and I think it was unfair to hold them to such a high standard because they were just kids at the time. The books should have come out, but they shouldn't have been looked at the people who are revolutionizing and changing the industry because they were at their core, they were just making comics. They wanted to have fun making comics and do it for themselves. But people were counting on them to be the revolutionary leaders and to have the winds of change and make it all matter. And it was great for them that it did so well, but they didn't want the mantle of the new guardians of the comics industry.
And they were making some bank.
Well, and I was going to say, too, that there was a level of arrogance coming from some of those creators as well, that they were the new
I'm sorry,
game.
What about
They were the leaders. And, and I wasn't even thinking of Mark, quite frankly.
I think it was a sign of the times more than them, probably. I mean, I'm sure you speak to them nowadays, they would have a different take about whatever happened.
And they were young, and that's cool. It's all right.
I believe they were really good at like kicking the ball, but maybe not follow up afterwards. You know, like
yes. And to be honest, tied to the rise and fall of Wizard Magazine, where it was this is the way. These are the new rules for the game. You're either with us or you're not. And as an older reader, again, I wasn't offended. It was just like, you know, I'm not reading your stuff. And especially when I hear this kind of attitude, you guys go ahead, enjoy yourselves. I'll be in this corner of the comic book world.
It's like anything in any media that where there's a dynamic shift in how things are done. Right. There's going to be people that are left behind and a different way of doing things.
And honestly, from a personal standpoint, since talking to a lot of these guys, I honestly, Valentino's a great guy. Larson is a great guy. I really like a lot of the guys I've had these one-on-one opportunities to talk to, and I have a tremendous respect for their talents. They've always been wonderful artists. And also, I think it was that, too, that it was more it was definitely more of an artist medium.
To continue with Christian's, now I forget the word. Not allegory.
Impetuance?
Using it as a reference as a soccer game.
Frenchitude.
Oh, yeah, kicking the ball. strike first.
They're really good at kicking the ball, but suddenly they had to be the people to go out and to organize games and to find other teams to play against and to.
Well, I guess when you realize that, like, in spite of all the critics that have been directed towards them over the years, like DC and Marvel, like, basically know how to play that game. They've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, decades.
And you can always criticize them, but they're still keeping us, like, hooked on comics, I guess. And, like, they're not the only ones. Hopefully, I think it's always important to have, like, a third voice, something we don't have that much in politics. But we still do a little in comics. And but these guys in the end like know how to play the game. I hear people like everyone who read comics at some point in their lives like think that's like the way it should be done, and like what comes after her is like false or bullshit or like what have you. No, it's all good. I mean, you can always go back to read like whatever you were reading, which you enjoyed. It's not disappeared. It's not being annihilated. It's still there in paper. And so it's easy to criticize, but in the end, these guys know how to play the game with the good and the bad. And Image had a wonderful opportunity, I think, and they did some good stuff, but they did not follow through. That's my take on it.
And then the company was kind of, you know, totally retooled, reborn, and it's the Image that we know today. And I think, you know, as Tom said, you know, I shudder to think about comics without Image today because it's such a great publisher.
No, brilliant ideas and open to different styles and different genres, and it's great. Right.
Think of all the great writers who've come from there that wouldn't have had a voice elsewhere.
Right. Sure. Absolutely. No, it finally, I think the dream was realized that I think they initially put out there when they created Image, and now we are finally seeing the follow through.
Mm-hmm. We've got some email I want to knock out. We have not done this in a while, and if you would like to email the show, you can do so by sending us
mail.
We have mail, and you can email us at info@aroundcomics.com. This one is from Peter Scott. and he says, you guys were discussing who would be the White Lantern. What about Sodom Yat? He died sacrificing his life, spoilers, to save and empower a planet. He's got the Ion Force in Final Crisis. Wasn't he named as the Final Guardian? But I do like the Dove angle, though. So we may have some insider information here.
I have a bit of information, but not that I can share. So okay. I'm sorry, Emma. I would have. What's this guy's name? Who sent
that? Peter Scott.
Peter.
I would have to kill Peter Scott after I said it, and everyone who heard it. So
I want to live. I just got married.
All I can say, I don't know if Sodom Yat is gonna be like White Lantern. I have no idea. However, I do know I want him back. He was a wonderful character, and I hope like if Black Snack restores, which I really do, like restores like a lot of the dead people back to life at the end. I really don't know that yet, except the part where it was all a dream, which I explained last week. I really hope he comes back. He's a wonderful character. He's got a great potential. I don't know specifically anything about him. Okay. I cannot share the very little I know.
Have we confirmed that there's a White Lantern?
You see him as the Final Guardian in Legion of Three Worlds.
Yes.
No, actually, I have not even confirmed, even for myself, that there is a White Lantern. Okay. So, I don't know. That's been the talk. Let me put it this way. I've heard rumors about a few things, but, you know, I'm like the third wheel here. Like, I'm just like the guy who gets like the info last, basically, and not necessarily the best info either.
Just ink this. Just make it look pretty.
Just ink this.
And, shut up. And by the way, do something about that accent of yours, okay? We don't like it when you call the office.
Speak American.
I don't have insider information other than to say there absolutely will be a White Lantern. But as much as I like Sodom Yat as a character too, I don't think that it'll be him. I think that it's got to be somebody bigger. I think that it's not worth enough to do the character if it's somebody who isn't one of the core people. And as cool the idea of it being Dove, it's not going to be Don Hall.
Maybe.
It's and I keep saying that I think personally, and this is just Kyle. Me guessing this, Kyle. I say Kyle.
Yeah.
I think Kyle's perfect. But Dal keeps telling me, no, it's going to be Hal. And if you look at everything, he's gone through so much
to make him Green Lantern again.
He doesn't want Hal to be it, but Hal's also been a Blue Lantern and a Red Lantern over the course of this series. So who's to say he can't be the White Lantern for a part-time basis?
Christian just blew my mind.
I'm sorry, I'll put my pants back. My pants back on.
He was pointing at me. I'm going to be the one.
Our next one is from John Wolf. Just an FYI, Spotted Cow is readily available at the liquor store down the street here in St. Paul, Minnesota. Not rubbing it in or anything. Flip side is I can't find a Point Dark to save my life. Anyways, keep up the good work. Always get a kick out of the show.
Some with him.
Also get some Point Dark and send it up to St. Paul.
If you want some spotted
Spotted Cow. The search for the elusive spotted we're gonna be sipping on some Spotted Cow tomorrow or on Sunday for the Bears Vikings.
I have a sampler pack of New Glarus beers. I hope you guys bring something too, because I'm gonna drink 12.
I've got a six pack.
It's a personal sampling for me.
I've got a six pack of Spotted Cow.
Speaking of which, I think we should replenish Patrick's fridge because
that was bought just for this.
Patrick bought us the champagne of beers.
That's what my grandma raised me on.
All right, the last one is
a good woman.
The last one is from Brian. Hey guys, a longtime listener, the show. Just wanted to point you in the direction of DC's comic podcast, where they posted a bunch of panels from San Diego, specifically the spotlight on Bill Willingham. Mark Buckingham was in on the panel as well, and it looks like he's under the impression that Marvel is going to be releasing the previous Miracle Man material. I would have to assume he would be in the loop on that.
Never
assume. Anyway, just wanted to let you know, in case no one else had told you, give up the great work. That's from Brian. So
part of the point of them getting the license.
Is that in the plan? Is that they're going to release all the Miracle Man stuff?
You have to assume, but I think they're going to start at the very, very beginning.
You guys talking about Marvel Man?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And when because you say
I
very beginning,
you say Miracle Man. You mean the beginning?
Same guy.
Okay.
You mean the beginning of Warrior and Eclipse?
Yes.
Oh, sure. They're gonna release the Golden Age stuff, which is.
The Golden Age stuff is definite, but I think aside from that, as what you're saying is they're going to start. Yeah, I'm sure they're going to retell the entire.
Well, good.
New
good.
Version as
it's
well.
It's like the Alan.
But there's no reason to assume that Buckingham's going to know anything about it.
You believe they will both release
he's got no proprietary
like,
right to that
the,
at all.
Existing material and retail at the same time? Or
I think they will reprint the Golden Age stuff. I think they will restart the Alan Moore run that ended with Gaiman and Buckingham. Mm-hmm. And further, then we'll continue the story because there is still a chapter of Gaiman and Buckingham's that has been written and drawn but mm-hmm. hasn't been released.
Oh, good.
Anybody who thinks that Marvel Man, Miracle Man was the character who was silhouetted in the Dark Reign Cabal one-shot. Completely wrong. There's no way it's going to be that. It's actually Molecule Man. That's no, I'm serious.
Oh, it really is Molecule Man? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Nice. There's not enough Molecule Man out there.
Universe Man. Universe Man.
That's kind of exactly.
All right. Let's wrap this one up. I want to thank everyone for those emails. We've got some voicemails to go over on the next time we record. Keep emailing the show at info@aroundcomics.com. You can voicemail us at 1-888
whatever.
1-888-977-5903.
Kind of
hey guys, before mm-hmm. you finish, mm-hmm. I can also do an Irish accent, you know.
A what
accent? I can do an Irish accent, guys.
Hello.
It's be Christian Army, folks. Look at that.
From Dublin.
Christian from Dublin.
That was terrible.
Hell, what do you mean terrible?
That was awful. That was worse than my Irish accent.
No, that's Dublin. It's from me country.
Yeah, that's country. That's country Irish.
All right,
just keep away from his lucky charms.
Sorry, it was an experiment. Michelle told me my Irish accent sucks, and well,
she
I
was
guess.
Right.
All right, whatever. Wow. Losers.
You've never met someone who's really from Ireland, because that's how they sound.
All right, I thought I had to try.
You can listen to Tom twice a week as he runs you through the history of the DC Universe and Tom versus the Flash.
Yes.
You could check me out later on this week on 11 o'clock comics with my buddies David Price, Jason Wood, and Vince B. Remember to check out Challengers Comics Conversation if and when you are in Chicago.
I want to plug a couple things real quickly.
Yes.
You have a comic book store.
Tuesday, December... 12th or 13th, the guys from C2E2 are going to be here as an mm-hmm. ambassador meet and greet thing, so people are welcome to come out and talk to them.
So will I, direct from Dublin.
Complete with his authentic shillelagh.
I'm drinking Guinness with a leprechaun. I'm in Ireland right now.
John Jameson and I came on the same boat.
Leprechaun.
There's no snakes anywhere near.
You guys are going to be here giving out hot chocolate, just talking to people between mm-hmm. 4 and 6 p.m., getting people excited for the C2E2 show in mm-hmm. April, so that'll be cool. The 23rd and 24th of December, we are doing what we call Christmas Crisis, Blackest Night Before Christmas, mm-hmm. open for 30 straight hours. We're not doing like sales or specials. We're just going to be open the entire time for anyone to come in.
Well, they're competing with Christianity right here.
That's right. And the December 24th is Art Balthazar's birthday.
Nice.
So we are having a birthday party for him between 2 and 4 a.m.,
Wow. Hilarious.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Good. My kind of stuff. I won't be here sadly.
You need
in
to.
New York, but,
Well, yeah, man.
You'll be back at the motherland. Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. Yep.
I'm flying back to France, like just like from New York, straight from New York.
Your
not
French
even stopping
accent
at Dublin.
It's good that you're competing with Christmas.
Well, I have a handicap, okay? So bear with me.
Jesus was a terrible retailer.
He ran a comic shop in his office.
Hell of a carpenter.
And as far as future recordings at Challengers, I don't know if there actually can be any because as of December 30th, there's no more Challengers.
Huh?
What?
It is being taken
right.
over.
That's right, you guys. It's the hostile takeover.
Yeah, we're forced out. As of December 30th, the store becomes Nortinger's, and Mike Norton will be running the store. December 30th?
That bastard, Mike
he
Norton.
He has decreed that no comics come out that week except Blackest Night because he's a fan, and...
Well, I kind of like it.
It'll be the first and only, the first time you can ever buy Mike's comic book, The Curse.
I knew Mike Norton was evil. Last time on the show, he confessed he was walking around with a robe.
It's a true story. In this very store. So that's how
in this very store.
He already thinks of this as his home. And we said, Mike, what else are you going to do? And he just said, that's just for the owner to know.
So,
he hit down. Yeah. So, we're going to be there to work the register because he doesn't, quote, want to learn how. But I,
you're working fully for Mike now.
Yeah, I fully imagine that. Yeah. That's the last day that I work at Challengers. So
it's going to be like Ed DeBevitt.
You guys can probably still record in this spot, but
watch
it'll
out.
Be
sometimes
under
he walks around with sandwiches. Too. I mean, I thought I'd seen the worst thing with, like, you know, when I heard about, like, Snuggie parties, you know, like the Snuggies parties, yes, where people, they get together in a bar in Snuggies. But that's Mike weird. Norton beats them all. He's evil.
Like, he's probably going to throw a hot coffee on
Mike. Of course he's evil. He's taking away my store from me.
Nortingers. So one, and that starts on
December Wednesday, December 30th.
Okay, so New Year's Eve.
How long until you run it into the ground?
New Year's Eve. Eve.
Thank God I'll be in France away from all that evil.
He might
You'll
take
still
France.
Hear me weeping, though. Yeah.
No, way. No. I'll give his signal. He's a signalman to all, like, the frontier guards and, like, the whole thing. He's not getting in my country.
What is it? Pug if by land, two if by sea? Is that what Mike Norton would do?
Say, hey, long hair, a beard, and a robe. Okay, Al Qaeda, buddy. I'm telling you right there.
Oh, speaking of Mike and our buddies over at iFanboy, you should head over there and pre-order the Battle Pug t-shirt.
The Battle Pug, the fierce Battle Pug t-shirt.
Which looks awesome. So, all right, well, I want to thank Patrick, as always, for hosting us here. Jose, who's been in the peanut gallery. Mr. Suntress, who's chimed in a couple times this
evening.
I will
not be denied.
Christian Alame, pick up Green Lantern every month.
We miss you.
Yes. Tom Caters.
Yeah.
Was that Gaelic? I didn't understand. Was that Gaelic? We miss you?
Yeah, well, no. I mean, I'm also French.
Also. Oh, in addition to.
Next you're going to tell us you're Greek. Come on.
Yeah, that too. Kalispera.
Greece.
There
you go. Greece isn't
all right,
a country.
Everyone.
Greece is the word.
Oh, have a fantastic rest of your week and weekend. We will be back again next week with another full-length episode. In the meantime.
In between time.
We'll be everywhere in.
And around.
Comics.
Grease the movie with countries. So I kept everyone in leather coats.
Hey, Grease is the birth of everything you know. Shut up, you little mother. I squish your head.
That's Greek anger. It's Greek anger. I didn't want to invoke the Greek anger. Tell me, he's the best that I really give a good goddamn good. Got my life bugs in, I'm all real well. Got my life bugs in, I'm all real well. I got my
views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production, copyright 2009.